Hazy and smoky and light. All right. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Good morning. Today's daf is Gittin daf Mem Hey. We left off Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the two dots, four lines before the lines get wide. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom, also by the Shulman family for the yard site of Mr. Bernard Shulman, Dov Ber, Ben Yitzchak Isaac, and Neshama Shalem and Aliyah. And we thank both sponsors very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So today we are going to cover three primary topics. First, we are going to discuss, continue the discussion that we started yesterday about what happens if an Eved is sold outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? So we had said that there are two situations in which a master is required to free his Eved. One is where he sells his Eved to an Akum, to a non-Jew. The other is where he sells the Eved outside of Eretz Yisrael, where he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he sells the Eved to outside of Eretz Yisrael because he's preventing the Eved from being Mekayim the Mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Eved is going to go free. So today, we're going to start with the discussion of what happens if an Eved follows his master voluntarily outside of Eretz Yisrael, then his master tries to sell him while he's there. Does the Eved go free or not? We're going to talk about a situation where the Eved goes from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael and what happens in that situation. We're then going to get to the Mishnah in the middle of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. That Mishnah is going to tell us, again, continuing with the theme of the Takanos Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, that we are not allowed to redeem captives. If a Jew, God forbid, is taken captive, we are not allowed to redeem the captive for more than their value. And the reason is because of Tikkun HaOlam. So we're going to see exactly what the Tikkun HaOlam is, what the value means, what are we talking about here. But that's another one of the Takanos that Chazal made, Mibnei Tikkun HaOlam. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Aleph is going to talk about the similar idea that we are not allowed to buy Sfarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, Sifrei Torah, or Stam from an Oved Kochavim for more than their value. And again, that's because of Tikkun HaOlam. We're going to see exactly what the Tikkun HaOlam is, and then we are going to discuss what exactly one is able to do or not able to do with Stam, which are either found in the hands of a guy or written by a guy or similar people who are not really Erlich Yidden, who are writing Stam, which are the types of people that you should really try to buy Stam from. But we're going to see a discussion on Mem Hei Amud Beis, what exactly the halacha is regarding Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos that are found in the hands of a guy or written by a guy. So again, we left off the two dots, Mem Dalet Amud Beis, four lines before the lines get wide. Amar Rabbi Avo, last word on the line. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo, Shonali Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught me that Eved Sheyatza Achar Rabo L'Surya, that if an Eved follows his master leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Surya, Umachro Sham Rabo Yatza L'Cheres, and his master sells him there, then he goes out free. The reason is because his master sold him in Chutz La'aretz. His master sold him to Chutz La'aretz, and therefore he's going to go free, like the halacha that we saw in the Mishnah. The chiddush over here is that Surya is like Chutz La'aretz mamish, because there are various gemaras where the status of Surya appears to be in doubt. Sometimes it appears the status is like Chutz La'aretz. Sometimes it appears the status is like Eretz Yisrael. From here, this price, we see that the status is like Chutz La'aretz. Says the Gemara, Vatani Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya said, Eved eschusho, that the Eved loses his chus. What does it mean, the Eved loses his chus? It means that if the Eved voluntarily follows his master outside of Eretz Yisrael, then the Eved loses his chus to go free if the master ultimately sells him. The reason the Eved goes free if the master sells him from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is because he's being forced to leave Eretz Yisrael. But if he left Eretz Yisrael on his own volition, then he loses that ability to go free when his master ultimately frees him. So why is it that if he followed his Rav, if he followed his master from Eretz Yisrael to Surya on his own volition, and then the master sells him, l'chora, he shouldn't go free because it should be Ibed es sechuso? Says the Gemara, well, lokasha, kan shedas rabo lachzar, kan shein das rabo lachzar. Where the master leaves Eretz Yisrael but intends on going back, then the slave doesn't lose his chus to go free when the master ultimately sells him to Chutz La'aretz, because the slave followed the master, assuming that the master was going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. If, however, the master leaves Eretz Yisrael without ever intending to go back, and the slave follows him on a voluntary basis, then the slave does lose his ability to go free if the master sells him, because Ibed Eschuso, he lost his chus to go free because he voluntarily, initially, followed the master to Chutz Laretz. Vatanya, and we learn a brisa of Benichusa that teaches us the same halacha, Yotza Eved Acharaba L'Surya, that it says, an Eved follows his master to Surya. Says the Gemara, Yotze Lo Sagi D'Lo Nafik. What does it mean, Yotze? Yotze seems like a lechatchila, but I thought that the master can't force his Eved to leave Eretz Yisrael, because there were certain things that you're not allowed to force somebody to do, and one of them is leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vatnan, Veina Kol Motziyin, that you're not allowed to force people to leave Eretz Yisrael. Ella Yotze Ha'Eved Acharaba L'Surya. Yotze is more of a Lashon B'di'eved and not Yotze, but Yotze. But if the Eved followed his master to Surya, meaning not Yotze, not that the master forced the Eved to leave Surya, but the Eved wound up following his master to Surya, Umachra Rabba Sham, and then his Rav sold him there, Imdas Rabba Lachzar, Kofinoso, if the Das Rabbo is to return to Eretz Yisrael, then the slave didn't lose his chus to go free, because he left Eretz Yisrael intending to go back. And therefore, if the master sells him, then we force the master to free the slave. But if the master never intended to return, and the slave voluntarily followed the master, the slave voluntarily therefore left Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he loses his chus to go free if the master ultimately sells him to outside of Eretz Yisrael, because it's not the master who forced him to leave Eretz Yisrael. The slave left Eretz Yisrael on his own volition. Amar Rav Hanan, Shaman Minei Demar Shmuel Tarti. We learn two things from this memra of Mar Shmuel. Chada hach, one is this, v'idach, and there's another memra of Mar Shmuel as follows. The Itmar, hamocher sadeo b'shnas hayovel. If a person sells his field during Yovel Atzma, during the Yovel year itself. Now the halacha is that generally by Yovel, all sales of fields are reversed on Yovel. And therefore, the Torah says, but mispar shanim timocher, right, that you're only, that the way you sell a field is that the price of the field is calculated, not like we sell real estate, where the market price, but you'd also have to factor in the amount of time that you would hold the field, because you're only holding the field until Yovel, and then all sales are reversed once Yovel comes. So if all sales are reversed once Yovel comes, Yovel has the power to undo all sales. The question is, what happens if a person tries selling a field during Yovel? Had he sold the field before Yovel, then the sale would be reversed once Yovel comes. What happens during Yovel? Is it a valid sale or is it not a valid sale? So if a person sells a field during Yovel itself, Rav Amar, Mechura V'yotze, Rav says the sale takes effect, but it automatically reverts to the original seller. Ushmuel Amar, Ina Mechura Kolikar, and Shmuel says, it's a sham, it's not a sale at all, because had you sold the field before Yovel, it would be reversed, therefore you don't have the power at all to sell the field during Yovel. So Bechada Hadres Vini, in one of these situations, the sale is reversed, and Rashi says, meaning that the lokeach, the purchaser, actually gets his money back because the sale is considered to be reversed. Uvechada lo hadris vini, and in the other case, the sale is not reversed, meaning the sale doesn't take effect, but the lokeach doesn't get his money back. So in one of these cases, either the case of where the master sells his eved and then has to free the eved, and in one of those cases, either the case of the slave or the case of the field, the sale is reversed, meaning the lokeach gets his money back. In one of the cases, the lokeach doesn't get his money back. And says the Gemara, "V'le'yadana ha'minayun." I don't know in which case the guy gets his money back and in which case the guy doesn't get his money back. Because in both cases, he doesn't get to keep what he thought he bought. In the case of the Eved, he doesn't get to keep the Eved because the master has to free the Eved. In the case of the field sold during Yovel, he doesn't get to keep the field because the sale's automatically reversed. But in one case, he gets his money back. In the other case, he loses his money. I don't know which one is which. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef. Let's see. Nechse Anan. So, Midatani Bebraisa, because it says in the Braisa, Hamocher Avdu L'chutz La'aretz, Yotze L'cheiris, V'tzorachet Shichror Me'rabo Sheni. Ah, that the Braisa had said that if a person sells a slave from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, the slave goes free and requires a get Shichror. Who does he require a get Shichror from? Is it the Rabo Rishon or is it the Rabo Sheni? Says the Gemara, it's the Rabo Sheni. Shmamina, Kani Rabo Sheni, V'lo Hadrizvini. So obviously, in that case, obviously, the second guy owns the Eved, because if he didn't own the Eved, we wouldn't require him to write a get Shichror. So it must be the case of Eved where lo hadrazvini, and it must be the case of the Sadeh where hadrazvini, where the sale is reversed. And when Shmuel says over there that ena mechura umos chozrin, and the money go and Shmuel hasam, and over there by the case of the field, what Shmuel meant to say was ena mechura umos chozrin, that it's not a valid sale at all, because we've proved already that by an eved it's a valid sale because the rabba sheni has to write a shtar shichur, meaning that he actually owns the eved. Therefore, if by eved the second guy, the lokeach, owns the eved, by the Sadeh, the Lokeach is not going to own the Sadeh. Ravanan, and Ravanan, who didn't know in which case the halacha is that the sale stands, and in which case the halacha is that the sale doesn't stand, how come he didn't know this raya? So Brisa lo shmile, because he didn't hear about this Brisa. That's why he didn't know to bring a raya, that if in the case of Eved, the sale is valid, in the case of Sadeh, the sale is not going to be valid. Again, top line, memhe and manalev, imi the Shmuel, and if he would have tried to prove anything from Shmuel, so in other words, by Shmuel said that by Yovel, if you sell a field during Yovel, the halacha is ena mechura. So why don't you just prove from there that by Sadeh, the sale is not valid? It says the Gemara, because I don't know what ena mechura means. B'mayi de ena mechura mo'es chozrin. How do you know that ena mechura means that the sale is totally reversed and this lokeach gets his money back? Dilma ena mechura mo'es matana. Maybe what it means is that the sale is not valid, but the lokeach doesn't get his money back. Why wouldn't the lokeach get his money back if the sale is not valid? He wouldn't get his money back because we're going to view it as a matana. So, in a makor mos matana ninu. Mididavi amakadesh asachoso. Where else do in Shas do we find the case where you do a transaction that is totally worthless, yet you don't get your money back? Where a person gives kesef kedushin to his sister. Ditmar, hamakadesh asachoso. If a person gives kesef kedushin to his sister, obviously that is invalid because your sister is one of the arayas. Rav Amar Moos Chozrin. Rav says you get your money back because you're an idiot. You can't be Makadish your sister, and therefore you're going to get your money back. Shmuel Amar Moos Matana. Shmuel says that you obviously know that that you're not allowed to give Kedushin to your sister because it's Mefurish in a Pasuk. So the baseline was everybody knows at least what's written in Torah Shabbat. So you know that you can't give Kedushin to your sister. You would tend to give her the money as a Matana. So Amar Le Abaye Le Rav Yosef. My chazis to consider the lokeach nichnasei lemocher. In other words, why would it be that the lokeach would lose his money? So why would the lokeach not get his money? In other words, why would the lokeach not get his money back? That the mocher should always be required to give the money back to the lokeach because the lokeach winds up having to free the eved in the situation where the master sells a slave. In Chutz Laretz, if the slave winds up going free, l'chora, what's fair, is that the lokeach should get his money back. Says the Gemara, Amar le, lav achbara ganav, ela chura ganav. It's not the mouse who stole, it's the hole that stole. Meaning this is like an analogy that the Gemara often uses. The mouse is considered to be the mocher because he's the one who tries selling his eved. But if the mouse doesn't have a place to hide, in other words, if the mouse doesn't have like a little hole in the wall, like in the cartoons where the mouse could run into, then the mouse can't accomplish anything. And over here, were it not for the fact that there were a willing counterpart to the transaction, the mocher never would have been able to sell his eved to the lokeach in Chutz Laretz. So it's the lokeach's fault. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Ilav achbara chura minale. The hole in the wall is simply a hole in the wall. It doesn't do anything nefarious unless the mouse runs into it. So the guy living in Eretz, the guy living in Chutz Laretz, is stomped sitting there in Chutz Laretz until the mocher decides he's going to sell his eved to the guy living in Chutz Laretz. So says the Gemara. Well, ilav achbara chura minale. If there was no mouse. Then, if there was, ilav achbara ganav el chura ganav, says the Gemara, say ilav achbara chura minale. So if there is no achbara, then nobody knows about the hole. So why do we give a knas to the lokeach? Says the Gemara, well, you're right, but mistabra hechadika yisura hasam kansinan. We're going to impose the knas on the place where the isser is. In other words, what does it mean where the isser is? So Rashi says that the eved is in the hands of the lokeach, and therefore, if we have a choice of either giving a knas to the mocher or a knas to the lokeach, we're going to give the knas to the person who's actually holding on to the eved. That's the lokeach. The knas is he does not get his money back. And the Ritva explains a little bit more satisfying than the Pshat and Rashi. It doesn't simply go on where the eved is, but rather it's the fact that the eved is in the house of the lokeach in Chutz La'aretz that prevents him from performing the mitzvah of being in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's so long as he remains in that place, he is prevented from performing mitzvahs. Therefore, we're going to give a knas to the lokeach. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaiter, third line down in the wide lines. There was an Eved that fled from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So his master came after him to Eretz Yisrael to find him. So they came before Ravami. So Ravami said to the Eved, let's write a shtar for the value of the Eved. And you have to write the Eved a get cheres. In other words, we're going to compensate you, but you have to free the Eved. Because he made it to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to let him go free. And if you don't like this trade, if you don't like accepting money in exchange for freeing the Eved, we're going to forcibly take the Eved from you. So I mean the Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia. And I learned this from the drasha of Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia. The Tanya, lo yeshvu bi'artzecha, it says in Pasuk, that lo yeshvu bi'artzecha, this is in Sefer Shmos, it says they should not dwell in your land, pen yachtiyu oscha li, lest they cause you to sin to me. And then the Pasuk continues, kisavod es Eloheihem ki elecha lamokesh. When you worship their gods, they're going to be a stumbling block to you. In other words, what it's saying is that Ovdei Kochavim shouldn't live next to you in Eretz Yisrael because they might cause you to go astray. They might cause you to sin. So darshaning the Pasuk, it says, Yachal bovei Kochavim shekibel olav shalol avod avodas Kochavim akosim edaber. I might think that this is talking even about an Ovdei Kochavim who is makabel upon himself not to worship idols. Tamalomar losaskir eved eladonav. That it says, do not deliver a slave to his master, asher yinotzal elecha. That asher yinotzal elecha memadonav, who tries to escape to you, from his master. So my takanaso, what's his takana? Imcha yeshe bekirbecha. That the goy who leaves idolatry, idol worship, he can live with you. Who shouldn't live next to you? It's the guy who's still practicing idol worship. The kashele the Rav Yoshia. But the Rav Yoshia has a kasha, because if what we're trying to say is that the idolater, is that the Ovei Kochavim is leaving idolatry, then why does it describe him as something who is escaping from his master? Haimim Adonav, Meim Aviv Mibayle. He's not escaping his master, he's escaping his father. The Masoras HaShas says he's escaping his father. What does it mean, his father? It says father means his God, and the Masoras HaShas therefore changes the Girsa to Elohav. In other words, he is not escaping his master, he's escaping his God. So Ella, I'm Rav Yoshia, therefore says Rav Yoshia, b'mocher avdo l'chutz la'aretz hakosam edaber. We are talking about a situation where a person sold his Eved to chutz la'aretz. And if the Eved then leaves chutz la'aretz and goes back to Eretz Yisrael, imcha yeshe bekirbecha, he should live with you. In other words, you don't force him to go back there. The kashule the Rav Achi b'Rav Ravioshia, and Rav Achi b'Rav Ravioshia had a kasha. Hayesher yinotzal elecha, asher yinotzal me'imach. It shouldn't say asher yinotzal elecha. It should say asher yinotzal me'imach. Meaning that we shouldn't force him to go back to Chutz La'aretz. Elo Amar Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia b'Erev Shabarach meChutz La'aretz Akasa Medaber. So we're talking about an Eved again who escapes from Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael, and therefore when the pasuk says Asher Yinatzal Elecha, it means that he goes to you in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he's not escaping from you; he's escaping to you because he's leaving Chutz La'aretz to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's one pshat in this pasuk. Tanya Idach, another brisa that expounds on this pasuk, Losaskar Eved El Adonav, that it says Losaskar Eved El Adonav, Rebbe Omar Belokech Eved Almanas Lashachura Kosam Medaber. Rebbe says that we're talking about a person who buys an Eved on the condition that he's going to give him, that he's going to free him. So what are we talking about? Some Rav Nachman Mar Yitzchak, Dekosav Le Hachi, that he says as follows, Likesha Ekachecha Hare Atzmecha Kenuya Lecha Me'achshav. When I buy you, you are going to go free. And Rashi says that this is talking within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who says that Adam Makne Davar Shelo Bal Yolam, because right now he doesn't own the Eved, so he doesn't own the rights in anything to free the Eved. But we listen to what he's saying, and therefore when he does buy the Eved, he's going to have to free the Eved. Okay, so Rav Chista, but the first pshat in this pasuk, obviously was saying that if the Eved runs away from his master in Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, we accept the Eved in to live with us, that we don't force him to go back. And therefore, when this person's Eved ran away from him in Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael, therefore, the Chachamim told him, listen, we're going to pay you for the Eved, and then we're going to keep the Eved here. And if not, we're going to force you to free the Eved, because the Halach is, darshaning this pasuk, that if the Eved runs away from Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael, we don't force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. We allow the Eved to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chista Arakle Avda Lebei Chutoi. Rav Chista's Eved escaped and went to the Bei Kutoi in Chutz Laretz. Shalach Lehu Adruan Eilei. They sent to him, return the slave to me. Sholchulei, they said to him, Lo Saskar Eved El Adonav. It says that we don't have to return a slave to his master. So you're telling us that we have to return the slave to his master, but look in your Torah. The Torah says, Lo Saskar Eved El Adonav. Do not return the slave to its master. So we're going to skip the parentheses. Shalach Lehu, but he says, Ahu Bavet Eved Shabarach Michos Laretz La'eretz. Nope. That's talking about the reverse situation. That's not talking about where the Eved runs from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, where the Pasuk says, oh, don't force him to go back to his master. That's talking about a situation where the Eved goes from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, and the point of the Pasuk is Dafka to let us know that he should stay in Eretz Yisrael. Uch Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia. And like Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia, says the Gemara, Umayshna the Sholach Luch Rav Achi b'Rav Yoshia, Mishum de Mashmalu Kroi. So why did he say, could Rav Achib de Rav Yoshia? Why does he reference Rav Achib de Rav Yoshia? Because he makes a diuk in the pasuk that is more the pasha pshat than the drusha of Rebbe. So in other words, the drusha, there were two drushas that you'll recall that we saw in this pasuk. The second one that we learned, the much briefer one, was the drusha of Rebbe, who says that this pasuk is talking about a person who buys an eved on the condition to free him, then he automatically goes free. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about now. The more push-up shot in the pasuk also, because it's talking about returning a slave to his master and running away and running from something and running to something. More mistaber, like Rav Achiv, the Rav Yoshe, that it's talking about a slave who runs from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. We don't force the slave to go back to Chutz Laretz. We keep the slave with us in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, said Rav Chista, you have to return this slave to me. Says the Gemara now, finishing up just before the Mishnah, Abaya Irchas Lechamra, Beikutoi. Abaya lost a donkey among the Beikutoi. The donkey ran away to Beikutoi. Shalachlu, so he sent to them, Shadruali, send it back to me. Shalchulei, they sent back to him, Shalach Simane, you got to give us a simon. Shalachlu, he said to them, I'll give you a simon, Dechivarta Krese, its stomach is white. Shalchulei, so they said to him, Ilav de Nachmeniat, were it not for the fact that you're Nachmeni, and Rashi says, if not for the fact that we know that you're a Chacham and a Chassid and that you're not going to lie, Lo avim ishardin lach, we wouldn't have sent this back to you, Atu kuli chamra lav krisayu chivarin inu, because every donkey has a white belly, and therefore the simon that he gave is not really a simon. Now, Achronim struggle with this whole shock levatari here, with this whole story, because if the Bei Kutoi knew that Abaye was such a chassid, then the question is, why were they putting him through the ringer? Like, they were asking him for a simon, and then he gave them a simon, which is not even a simon, but they sent the donkey back to him. So the whole thing is a little bit difficult to understand. The Achronim worked that out. Says the Mishnah, now Viter. So, Ein Poden Es HaShvuyin Yeser Al Kedei Demeyan. We are not allowed to redeem captives for more than their value. What does it mean for more than their value? The Miri says there are two ways to interpret this. The first way to interpret it is you look at the value that the person would command on the slave market, and if they were sold as a slave, and you're not allowed to redeem him for more than that value. The second is we don't look at his value on the slave market, we just look at his stature in the community. Is this person a chash of a person? Is he an important person? And the more important a role the person plays in the community, the more you're going to be allowed to spend in order to redeem him. Why are we not allowed to spend more than a person's value to redeem an Eved? Bibnei Tikkun HaOlam. Because of Tikkun HaOlam, this is one of the Tikkun HaOlam takanas, we're going to see exactly what the Tikkun HaOlam aspect is. We also don't help captives escape because of Tikkun HaOlam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Mnei Takanas HaShvuyin. It's because of the Takanas HaShvuyin. In other words, it's because of a Takana of the captives that are left behind. Because if you facilitate the escape of one person who's held captive, you can assume that the captors are going to take out their vengeance on the other captives who are still there. And therefore, we don't help somebody escape from captivity. Because of Takana Sashfuyin, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not Tikkun Olam, we're going to see what the difference is. Says the Gemara as follows. Iboilu, Haim ibnei Tikkun Olam, Mishum Duchka Ditziburahu. This Tikkun Olam, that we said that you're not allowed to redeem, that we don't redeem captives for more than their value, is that because of Duchka Ditzibura? Is it because we don't want to overly impose on the tzibur, and therefore it's going to be impossible? The tzibur is not going to be able to afford all of the pidyon shvuyin money that's collected if we're going to pay more than the value of the captives. Odilma mishum delo ligravu velaisi tvei. Or is it so that they don't capture more people? Because if they see that the Jewish people are going to redeem the captives for much more than their value, then they're going to just try to capture more people and try to make more ransom money. Rashi says the nafkamina is if the captive has a rich family or if the captive has rich friends. So if the concern is ducha de tzibura, that we don't want to overextend and impose on the tzibur, nobody's imposing on the tzibur because this guy's family is going to underwrite the check to redeem him. If, however, the problem is we don't want to entice them to capture more captives, then we do have to worry because, yes, even though the tzibur is not going to be put out by redeeming this guy, still it's going to incentivize the captors to take more people into captivity. And therefore, even if we're not taking up a communal collection, we would not allow this person's rich relative to redeem the captive. Tashmat, the Levi Bar Darga, we saw a maisa with Levi Bar Darga, Parka Labarte, he redeemed his daughter, but Tlesar Alfe Dinri, with 13,000 dinari zav. So obviously we see that the problem is Dukha de Tzibura. And because the problem was Dukha de Tzibura, that we don't want to put out the Tzibur and force them to raise money to be Poda the Shvuyin. But Levi Bar Darga was such a rich guy, he was able to afford the $13,000 ransom. So he paid the $13,000 ransom. It was not a problem. So we see the reason for the Takana is because we don't want to put out the Tzibur. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Aman Lema, De Berzon Chachamim, Ava Dumla, Shelo Berzon Chachamim, Vavad. In other words, there's no raya here. Maybe he didn't. Maybe what he did was inappropriate. In other words, maybe it could be that the reason for the Takana was that they don't come and they don't take more people into captivity. And Levi Bar Darga just didn't do the right thing. Says Tosfos over here, Dibra Maskel Delo, Delo Ligruvu Velaisi, Vodatani Beberg Nara, we learn in Perek Nara in Xuvas, Nishbeis Vayimavakshim Emenu Adasura Bedamea, that if your wife is taken into captivity, and the first time they request even tenfold her value, Pam Rishon Poda, that you're allowed to be Poda your wife. I thought you're not allowed to be Poda anybody for more than the value, so how come you're allowed to be Poda your wife for 10 times the value? Says Tosfa, Shani Ishto Davi Kigufa Yosem Ebito. Because the halacha is that you're not allowed to redeem other people for more than the value that they would command. And your daughter is considered to be other people to you. Your wife is not considered to be other people to you because of the halachic concept of Ishto Kigufo. So here Tosfos is extending what Ishto Kigufo means, that it did to allow you to end run this halacha, that you're not allowed to be Podesh Shevi for more than their value. Balatzma lo tiknu. And they never made a takana that you're not allowed to redeem yourself for more than your own value. And also then we find a maisa says Tosfos or Rabbi Shua ben Chananya redeemed a certain tinok for a big sum of money a little bit later on in the Masechta, and says Tosfos that's why the fishaya muflag b'chachma inami b'shaschor ben abayis lo shayak lo lugravu. So two answers over there. Number one, either Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya thought that this person was going to be the next Gadol Ador, and for the next Gadol Ador, maybe the halacha is different, or it's because it was a time of Korban anyway, so they were doing whatever they wanted to the Jews. So if the reason for the Takana is, oh, we don't want them to steal more people, they were going to take more people into captivity anyway. Says the Gemara, Ve'ein mavrichan es hashvuyim v'nei tikkun olam, that we don't facilitate the shvuyim's escape because of tikkun olam, or b'shem galilam, or v'nei tikkun es hashvuyim. It's because of tikkun es hashvuyim. So my binayu, iga binayu d'lek alachad, where there's only one guy there. If the reason is because we're afraid what they're going to do to the shvuyim who are still in captivity, if there are no other shvuyim in captivity, we have nothing to be afraid about. If it's rather a tikkun olam issue, because we're afraid that next time they get somebody in captivity, they're going to brutalize that person, then we do have to be afraid, and then the takana applies. Says the Gemara now a Maisa that leads us to the next Mishnah. Ban say the Rav Nachman, the daughters of Rav Nachman, Bachshan Kidra B'Yadayu, they used to stir a boiling pot of food with their hands. And Kachalei Rav Ilish, and Rav Ilish was dumbfounded by this. Ksiv Echad Adam Echad Me'elaf Lamatzasi. I only find 1 in 1,000 are tzaddikim. V'isha B'chol Eila Lamatzasi. But even in 1,000 women, I never found a single tzaddik. So Ha'ika Bante the Rav Nachman, but they're the daughters of Rav Nachman. They must be real tzedkanios because they're able to stir a pot with their hands, and they're impervious to the effects of heat. So they must be very special people. Garmalu Milsa. Vishtabayim Vishtabiyu Nami Badayu. Happens to be that the daughters of Rav Chiya were taken captive. The daughters of Rav Nachman, rather, were taken captive, and Rav Ilish was taken captive with them. Yomachad Avi Yosef Gabeyahu Gavra Davi Yoda Belishna Tzipori. One day, Rav Ilish was sitting while he was in captivity with some other guy who was taken captive. This other guy knew the language of birds. So also Urva Vakakari Le. So a raven came and started chirping. So Amar Le, so Rav Ilish said, "My Kamar, what's this raven saying?" So Amar Le, so the fellow said, "Ilish Barach, Ilish Barach." The raven is saying that Ilish is going to escape. Omar Urva Shakrahu Velosa Michna Le. Frezer of Ilish, nah, the raven is lying and didn't want to rely on the Eved. Adahachi Asayona, then a dove came, the Kakari lay, and was chirping. So Amar lay, my karma. So Rav Ilish asked the guy again, what's he saying? So Amar lay, Ilish Barach, same message that Ilish is going to escape. So Amar, Knesset Stroll, Kiyona Mesila. So now Rav Ilish said, I didn't believe the raven, but I'm going to believe the dove, because Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove, Shmamina Misrachesh Li Nisa. That is obviously a nace is going to happen to me, I'm going to be able to escape. So Amar, so he figured like this. Ezel Achzi Bante the Rav Nachman, Ikaime Bemenusa Adrinu. Let me go see where the daughters of Rav Nachman are holding. If they're still keeping their faith, even in captivity, I'm going to help them return with me. So Amar, Noshi Kol Mili Dislan Sadran Lahadadi Bebeis Akise. So he said, I know that the women like gossiping in the Beis Akise, and therefore I'm going to follow them to the Beis Akise, standing outside, I'm going to hear what they say. So Shamino Dukamri, so they hear them saying the following. Ade govern v'nardoi govern. Our captors are our husbands, and our husbands in Eretz Yisrael, who we were taken captive from, are also our husbands. Let us tell our captors to bring us further from here so that our real husbands don't find us and try to redeem us. Meaning that they were saying, you know what, it's not so bad in captivity, we have our needs met anyway, let's tell our captors to take us far away. So come Arak, so he said, they obviously have not kept their faith, they're not worth redeeming. So come Arak, also Iuvahu Gavra. So Rav Ilish and the other guy who knew the language of the birds tried to escape. Lididayas Rachash Le Nisa, Avar Mavra, that Rav Ilish had a nace happen to him, he was able to pass the river. Vahu Gavra Eshkechu Vakatlu. And the other guy, the nace didn't happen to him, he was found and he was killed. Kiadron, anyway, the point of the story is that when Rav Ilish came back, Vyasin Umar Havi Kabakshon Kidra Bakshafim. How were the daughters of Rav Nachman able to stir the boiling pot of water? It was not because they were tzedkanios, it was rather through witchcraft. So that is the point of that story. Okay, says now the Mishnah, Ve'ein lokan sfarim tefillin mezuzas min ovdei kachavim yesrael kadei demayam. We don't buy stam from ovdei kachavim for more than their value, b'mnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam. And Rashi says the same achloka supplies here. Either it's because we don't want to overly impose on the tzibur, or it's because we're afraid that if the goyim see that we're going to buy the stam from them at such a high value, they're going to steal more sefrei Torah so that we buy them back. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rabudya le Ravashi. Yesrael k'dei demayim hudein lochin, habichdei demayim lochin. The diak is that you're not allowed to pay more than their value, but you're allowed to buy them from ovdei kachavim. Shmamina sefer Torah shenimtza biyad ovdei kachavim korimbo. Says the Gemara, it's a raya that if a sefer Torah is found in the hands of a guy, then you're allowed to read from it. Because lechora, why are you buying it only to, if not to read from it? Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Dilma lignos. Maybe the reason that you have to buy the Sefer Torah is because the guy is going to defile the Sefer Torah, so you're buying the Sefer Torah only for the purpose of doing Geniza. So Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, we have the following. Naktinam, we learn, Sefer Torah shekosvo min. If a min writes a Sefer Torah, if an apostate writes a Sefer Torah, yisore, if it has to be burnt. Kosvo of the Kachavim, if an Ovi Kachavim writes a Sefer Torah, yignos, it has to be buried. Nimtza biyad min yignos, if it's found in the hands of an apostate, but the apostate didn't write the Sefer Torah, then it has to be buried, it needs geniza. Nimtza biyad of the Kachavim, amila yignos, v'amila korimbo. That it's always one level down. If it's found in the hands of somebody, then the halacha, if it's actually written by that person, and therefore if the halacha is by a guy, if it's found, if he writes it, it requires geniza. If it's found in his hands, some people say that it has to, that it requires geniza. Other people say that you're allowed to read from it. Sefer Torah shakosvo ovid kachavim, a Sefer Torah that an Oved Kochavim, that an Oved Kochavim wrote, Satani Chada Yisare, Fatani Idach Yignos, Fatani Idach Korenbo. So the Brisa then says that one Mandi Amar says that it has to be burnt, the other Brisa, the other Mandi Amar says that it requires Gneza, and the other Mandi Amar says that it requires that you're allowed to, that you're allowed to read from it. That you're allowed to read from it. Okay. So says the Gemara, Lokasha. So, but there's a three-way machlokas here, so how do any of these shitas make sense? So the Gemara says, I'll explain to you. Ha detani yisarev Rav Elazar hi, damar stamach shava sovek kochavim labodetz kochavim. The one man, the Amar says that it has to be burnt because we all like Rabbi Lazar that stam the machshava and ovek kachavim is for ovek kachavim, and if the Akam had a machshava l'shem idol worship when he wrote the Sefer Torah, it's a terrible Sefer Torah and you have to burn it. Vodatani Ignaz, the man, the Amar says that it should be put in Gneza. Haitanu is the following Tana, the Tanya Rav Amnuna Berei de Rav Me Parshrunya Sefer Torah Tfilin Mezuzah Shekosfan. We delete the word min. Shekosfan Musar Oved Kochavim V'Eved Isha V'Katan V'Kuti V'Yisrael Mumar. That if any of these people write this Sefer Torah, psulin, it's apostle of Sefer Torah. We know that Allah is that by apostle of Sefer Torah requires gneza. In other words, we don't say that he intended it for idol worship, but it's apostle Sefer Torah. Why is it apostle Sefer Torah if all these people, why can't you have a woman sofer? Shenemar ukshartem uksavta, because the Gemara makes a hekish, ukshartem ukasavtam. So kol sheyeshna b'kshira, yeshna b'ksiva, v'chol sheyna b'kshira, yeshna b'ksiva. Anybody who is included in the mitzvah of kshira, of putting on tefillin, is eligible to write tefillin. Anybody who is not included in the mitzvah of putting on tefillin, like nashim, like goyim, like katanim, like avadim, is not going to be included in the mitzvah of ksiva, and certainly we're going to make a kal v'chomer if they're not included in the mitzvah of ksiva legabe tefillin. Certainly they're not included in the mitzvah of ksiva legabe a sefer Torah, and therefore it's going to be a pasul a sefer Torah. Pasul a sefer Torah require gneza. V'adetanya korimbo. Now about the Mandi Amar, it says that if it's found in, that if an Ovek Kochavim writes a Sefer Torah, then you're allowed to read it. Hai Tanahu, that's this Tana. The Tanya lo konsfarim an Ovek Kochavim b'chol makom, that you are allowed to buy Sefer Torah from an Ovek Kochavim anywhere. Uvavachi uksuvim kilchas, and as long as they're written kahalacha. Umaisa b'Ovek Kochavim echa b'tzidon shayakosev sfarim, and there was Taka Maisa, where there was an Akam and Sidon who was writing Sefer Torah. V'hitir Rabbi Shimon b'gamliel likach mimenu, where Rabbi Shimon Leal permitted people to buy Sefer Torah from this guy because he knew that the guy was writing them Kalacha. Says the Gemara, whoa, Rabbi Shim Gamliel, Iba Lashman boy, Ksiva Lashman lo boy. Rabbi Shim Gamliel is going to require that the hides used in making the Sefer Torah and Tefillin require Iba Lashma. The tanning even has to be Lashma. But he doesn't require ksiva l'shma, because it's one thing to say that the guy is writing the Sefer Torah kahalacha, and he doesn't have in mind that he's writing for the Oved Kochavim, for his idols, but do you think that he's writing l'shem mitzvahs ksiva Sefer Torah? He doesn't believe in a mitzvahs ksiva Sefer Torah. D'tanya, how do I know that Rav Shimon Leal requires ibud l'shma? Tzipons of, because it says, if you cover your tefillin in gold, oshatol aleim or beima tmeya, or if you cover them with the skin of a beima tmeya, with a hide of a beima tmeya, then psulas, then it's going to be pasul. Or beima toros ksheros, if you cover your tefillin with a kosher animal hide, then it's going to be kosher. Ve'aval pishlo ivdan l'shma. The Tanakhama says, even though the tanning of the hide was not l'shma, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, afilu or beima toros psulos, even the skin, the hide of a beima Torah is going to be pasul, ad she'ivdan l'shma, until you have an ibud l'shma. So how's it going to be that he says that you require Ibud Lashma, but you don't require Ksiva Lashma, because there's no way that the guy was writing the Sefer Torah Lashma, so how are you allowed to read from his Sefer Torah? Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel beger shachazer lesuro. That we're talking about a ger who goes back to, that we're talking about, the guy knows the halach of lishma. Why? Because he's a ger. Only he goes back to his idol worship. Lesuro kolshke in davale min. But then he's a min. If he goes back to his idol worship, that's considered to be an apostate, and by the Sefer Torah that's written by a min, it requires sreifa. Some Ravashi shachazer lesuro mishum yira. No, he doesn't really believe it. He was just afraid they were going to beat him up. And that's why he went back to his idol worship ways, but he knows the halacha of Lashma, and therefore you're allowed to read from his Sefer Torah. Tana Rabbana Malin B'demeyam Akadei Trafik. Even though we said that you're not allowed to pay more than their value, you're allowed to add a little bit more than the value, because Rashi says it's not going to be nicker that you're adding to their value. My Trafik, what's this amount that you're allowed to add to their value? Amr Rav Sheshes Istara, it's a half a dinar. Hayit Haisa Da'aisi Chaisa Da Tefila L'Kamei D'Abaya. There was a certain Arab woman who had a small bag of tefillin that she brought to Abaya. Amra La Yavali Reish Reish Batamri. So Abaya says, I'll buy each pair of tefillin for you for a couple of dates. She got very angry and she threw the tefillin into the river because she was so offended by the lowball offer that Abaya made. Amar Abaya realized he shouldn't have been mezalzel on the value of the tefillin so much. He should have offered her more money for the tefillin. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day and a wonderful Shabbos. Guten Shabbos, Avram Yitzchak.